Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Mary Peters. Mary is the administrator of the Federal Highway Administration in the U.S. Department of Transportation. And joining us on our conversation is Dave Abel. Well, Mary, we know that FHWA is giving more attention to the full life cycle asset management for bridges, roads, and highways. Could you explain what that means to our listener and tell us why it's becoming so important?
I think it's important, Paul, because when we look at the transportation infrastructure system in this country, it's an asset, and it's a very important asset. And we ought to be managing it more like an asset instead of looking at kind of tinkering around the edges. Where do we maintain? Where do we build or add capacity? What do we do to it? But to consider it from a life cycle standpoint. And I guess the best way I can describe it is we're homeowners. Many of us are homeowners. And we have to make decisions every day about what we do with that home. Maybe I want new carpet, but I've got a roof on a leak in my roof. So I need to repair that leak in the roof because that's going to extend the longevity of my home more so than adding new carpet to it. We need to take that same kind of an economic approach to the infrastructure system in our country and approach it from an asset management approach. What investments will extend the life of that asset most expeditiously or most effectively and invest where those things will happen? If we choose to expand that system, where are we doing so that it's going to meet our needs over the long term? So we really have to look at it much more like I call a utility concept. Utility companies very much take that idea of looking at their system. What's the customer demand going to be in the future? How do I preserve my ability to meet that demand with the existing system and strategically add capacity where I need to do that? So that's the approach that we really think is important. It's looking at the system as a whole and not components of the system and managing that system to give the citizens of this country the best return on investment.
Is ownership an issue? In that example, the home is owned by the person, so they have a tremendous incentive not to have a leaky roof. But is ownership of these things an issue?
It is, but that again, Paul, is where I think we really need to drive home in this country that this infrastructure system belongs to America. It's our investment, a tremendous investment, so we together have to make decisions that best have that asset last a long time for us and serve us well over a long period of time. But you're correct. State and local governments own these assets. We don't own them. The federal government doesn't. So what we have to do is incentivize state and local governments to take this kind of an outlook on their systems and really begin to manage their transportation systems, and I think most of them do. They simply lack the tools to do it, and that's an important part of our responsibility is helping provide those tools.
Change gears on us just briefly. It's interesting that in most of the conversations that we have on this program, in one way or another, national security and homeland security comes up. First of all, what impact has the heightened national security alert had on street and highway traffic system?
It has caused us to look and conduct what we call vulnerability assessments on our infrastructure and our highways and bridges and determine where they might be vulnerable and then to harden those assets where it's appropriate to do so, but also to be much more alert, much more aware of what's going on. If there's an abandoned tanker truck, for example, on a segment of highway approaching a bridge, a much higher level of awareness. As the Secretary has said, last September, and when we had the terrorist attacks in this country, transportation was used in a manner that no American ever expected. And his goal and ours collectively at the Department of Transportation is to ensure that the nation's transportation system is never again used in a manner like that.
So in the long-term strategy, do you foresee changes in strategy from FHWA related to Homeland Security?
I see us using probably more of an aspect of, again, overall management of the system. How would we respond if there were another terrorist attack, God forbid? How would we respond? How would we evacuate large areas as quickly and as efficiently as possible? How can we protect those infrastructure assets? Those are the new emphasis on security. A lot of it ties into how we're managing and operating the system every day, but a much stronger emphasis on ensuring that we're assessing vulnerability, hardening assets where appropriate, and making sure that we remain aware of situations that could endanger those assets.
Even though I think you talked about this, I'm curious what you would define as the major challenges to the nation's highways that you're expecting in the future. Is it through this security issues, or are there others?
I think the major challenge we face in the nation's highway system is our interstate system is approaching 50 years old. It's aging, as are a number of other highways and bridges in our country, and it's making sure that we're protecting and preserving those assets so they can continue to serve us into the future. Many states are much more concerned today about maintaining or replacing assets than building new transportation assets. So I see that as a real challenge in the future. I think another challenge is this overall concept of managing the system well. We need to take more of a supply side, more of a demand side, rather, approach to this in a supply side approach. In the past, we've taken the supply side approach, build a mile of freeway, add a transit car, add a transit line, add a rail line or something like that. And in the future, I think we again need to focus it from a demand side and look at what we need to provide so that we can meet this nation's mobility needs from a demand side. And then the third area I would say is reauthorization. We have an opportunity in 03 to reauthorize surface transportation funding for the next 6 years. And it's a tremendous opportunity, both in terms of funding and in terms of policy, to set the right groundwork so that we can move the nation's transportation system and management of that system into what we want it to provide us well into the future in this country.
You made an earlier point earlier in our conversation that the user of the transportation system measures success of that system on dependability, that I know it should take me 15 minutes to get somewhere, and it does take me 15 minutes. How do you measure the success of the Federal Highway Administration?
Just that way. And I think, Dave, it's important that we do it just that way. What does it look like, feel like to the customer at the end of the day? You know, if I said to you that success was building another 100 miles of highway system or improving some component of that system in the future years, you should be able to say to me, what does that mean to me? How is that going to affect my commute? How is it going to affect my ability to pick my child up from daycare on time or to get to my son's soccer game or to get to work every day so that I'm not spending an extra half hour commuting instead of a half hour of quality time with my family or productive time with my employer? So I think that what we really want to look at the end of the day is how well are we doing in ensuring that products can make just-in-time delivery, that people who are using our system have the same ability of dependability, rather, that I have. If I go catch a plane today and I want to fly from here to San Francisco, I have reasonable assuredness that I'm going to leave here and to get there in the time that I want to. We want our surface transportation system to perform that way. So success to me will be defined in giving customers that level of reliability and predictability, of building systems that are environmentally friendly, meaning that they lay easy on the land, if you will, in terms of the way that we deal with our environment, and that our systems are substantially safer, meaning that far few people are losing their lives on the nation's highway system.
When I think of the highway system, I tend to think of people. I tend to think of people going from destination to destination, but I do realize that a lot of it has to do with the trucking and shipping of goods. Mm-hmm. How much interaction do you have with business and with industry in their evaluation of success of the Federal Highway Administration and the metrics that they use for the delivery of just-in-time inventory and things along that line?
We're working much more closely with the trucking industry than I think we have in the past. And we have one whole unit of our organization that's devoted to freight and freight transportation issues. And there we're looking at what are the major freight corridors today, what are they going to be in the future, what kind of capacity do we need on those corridors so that freight can move efficiently and safely to where it needs to go. A big part of that is the intermodal connectors. If a ship lands at Long Beach Harbor and the destination of those goods is Chicago, what are we doing? Sometimes, in fact, before the Alameda Corridor was built, it could take longer to get that shipment just away from the port itself and onto the highway than it would on the highway system proper. Those type of inefficiencies are just going to kill productivity in our country. So those are the things that we're doing and working with the freight industry.
Speaking of measurement, I'm curious, there's highways all around the world. How do we fare in terms of other countries around the world in terms of our highway system?
We fare pretty well. Countries like Germany with the Autobahn system do a little bit better than we do. They also invest substantially more than we do in their transportation system there. But by and large, we fare very well, both in terms of safety and in terms of efficiency of our transportation system. But again, if we're going to remain very productive as a country, we need to do even more in the future.
Well, in looking out, I'm just curious, what advice would you give to a young person considering a career in government?
Well, I think I would, to capture a phrase from another product, just do it. I think that there are tremendous, tremendous opportunities and tremendous rewards in public service. And I like to think that we all are juggling a number of balls at any given time in our life. Our work, of course, is important, our health, our family, our spiritual life. And I think that public service is a ball that we all need to juggle from time to time as well. You have the opportunity when you're working in public service to set policy, and policy that can really make a substantial difference in the government and in the well-being of all Americans. So I think I would very much encourage young people to enter public service.
If they had the choice, what would you advise them as to where to start? where to start, state government like you did or the federal government?
Well, I think you can – state government is certainly a very good learning ground. Processes are very similar, but it's on a smaller scale. Stakes are a little lower, and it's a good – there are many good opportunities to get into state government, but I certainly would not want to discourage anyone from coming into federal government. I would encourage college students, university students to try an internship and get a feel for what government service is like and what the rewards and opportunities can be.
Well, Mary, I'm afraid we're out of time. Dave and I want to thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you very much.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Mary Peters, Administrator of the Federal Highway Administration at the U.S. Department of Transportation. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can also get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.
How can we strengthen the relationship between performance and public service? A recent endowment report makes the case for performance management by confronting conventional attitudes. For a copy of the report, Performance Management, A Start Where You Are, Use What You Have Guide by author Chris Y., visit our website at businessofgovernment.org or call us at 703-741-1077.